there. This is Rusty Anderson, and you're listening to Things We Said Today with Ken Michaels and Steve Marinucci.
Hello, hello, and welcome once again to a Beatles program, a weekly program that we call Things We Said Today. This is a show that centers on what's going on in the world of the Beatles, news-wise. I'm Ken Michaels, one of the co-hosts of the show, best known for my syndicated radio program called Every Little Thing, being joined by my co-host, the man who writes for Beatles Examiner and many Examiner columns, Steve Marinucci. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ken, and also I just mentioned it yesterday on Goldmine, Facebook, that I will soon have an article in Goldmine.
Oh, that's so great.
Yay for me.
You're now going to be a contributing writer for Goldmine magazine.
Yep.
So what is the first article on?
First article is on the Ringo exhibit.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
So you'll all have to pick up a copy of Goldmine now. And for anyone that doesn't know, Goldmine's a magazine that's been around a long time. Focuses a lot on veteran acts, oldies acts, and has great articles on what's happening today and a lot of, period pieces, things about the past. You know,
record shows, if people still go to those. And actually, there's good reason to go to them, too. But yeah, they keep up with the record shows and what's going on in the world of collectibles and that kind of stuff. So it's really a great magazine.
Okay. Well, on today's program, we thought that even though we did a show, probably a few shows back now, on Ringo's exhibit at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles, we didn't talk at length about the new book on Ringo, which at the moment is just an ebook called Photograph. And actually, Steve happens to have...
I have the ebook. It's available only for anyone with an iPad. Unfortunately, it's not available outside that. But if you have an iPad, even an iPad 1, it will work in there.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk a little bit about how the ebook is, what you get for the ebook. And I believe it's $14.95, which is not, considering this is from Genesis Publications, is a bargain. Because most of Genesis stuff is very, very expensive. And this is very popularly priced, and I'm glad it is, because it's really something that is very enjoyable. We'll get into that.
Yeah, I don't want an iPad, so that's why we have to rely on Steve. One of the advantages between the two of us doing this show is that there are some things, especially if there's an event happening on the West Coast, Steve can cover it. If there's an event on the East Coast, I can cover it. So very often the two of us may not have found out all the information at the same time about a certain thing, but we can attend things just based on our own location.
Right.
And so in this particular case, it's just a product, and I don't own an iPad, but you can talk about it at length, and we will.
Yep, we will. We're going to talk about it today. But first, you were somewhere last night that you want to talk about, Ken.
I was at Fenway Park seeing Paul McCartney.
How was it?
I loved it.
This is the second time you've seen him this year.
Yeah, well, I saw him at the second show he did at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I actually liked this show at Fenway much more.
Did you?
For the simple reason, first of all, I could hear Paul a lot better. And that's something that's really important to me. I mean, I look at Paul McCartney, though a lot of people don't often say this, I think of him as one of the greatest singers we've ever had. And all of music, I think he's got one of the greatest voices ever. So part of the reason why I go is not just to hear all these great songs, but to hear his voice. And when I saw him at Barclays Center, and it could be where I was sitting, I just didn't like the mix all that well. I just kind of felt like Paul was drowned out a lot. I heard him a lot clearer at Fenway Park, and I thought his voice was really strong.
Were you closer or further back? Last night?
I think it was pretty much the same. The difference was that at Fenway, I was on the left-hand side of the stage in the low section, kind of like at maybe, 120-degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see more of the stage. I was more at 180-degree angle at Barclays. But I could see the band better. I saw the screen better. Everything was better about this show, but I love the atmosphere there at Fenway. I love going to that park because it's such a historic park, and if anyone has never been to Fenway, it's very much kept like stadiums were in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
All the signs are old. You know, you feel like you're going, you're stepping back in time when you go to Fenway Park.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people sent me pictures of, and posted pictures on Facebook of the signs and everything, and having been there myself in my youth, but not recently, I remember that, it's very much a place for traditional baseball fans. It's a wonderful place.
Not only that, the weather was perfect. It was It was 70 degrees out. There was a threat of rain throughout the day, but it didn't rain while the concert was on, and there was a nice breeze.
I heard that there were, somebody had said thunderstorms, and I looked it up on Weather Channel, and I didn't see thunderstorms, but I did see the skies. It was overcast. And,
right. Yeah. But it was just a perfect night, and you know, I appreciated the song so much more because I could hear them better.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear the musicianship better. I could see the lead guitar parts that Rusty was playing and Brian was playing. And, you know, I just could hear the band so much clearer. And again, the way that you rate a lot of these concerts, it has a lot to do, I think, with just, you know, where you're sitting and the sound at that moment. And, you know, I think when I was talking about the Barclays Center show, in a previous show, the last, I think, maybe two shows back, it might be. Mm-hmm. I might have been a little bit harsh about Paul when it came to his vocals. And a lot of that, like I said, it revolves around where you're sitting and what you hear at that moment. And he could also have an off night here and there. But, you know, his voice is just so strong still for someone his age.
Cool.
And I love seeing the feedback in the audience on certain songs. And I observed so much more at this show than I ever did at the show at Barclays. I think maybe because of where I was sitting again. But for example, as I've said numerous times here on this show, the highlights for me are the songs that he never does live before, has never done live before, hasn't done for a long time. So I noticed when he did Your Mother Should Know, the crowd was respectful. They liked it. They were listening. After that, he did Lady Madonna. Everybody got up. So there's a song that he's done on almost every single tour. You know, I'm more excited about Your Mother Should Know because he's never done that until this tour.
Right.
Also, being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, I think people were surprised when he did it. They were respectful. They weren't going crazy over it, you know, but some of the same songs, you know, he starts Let It Be, everybody goes crazy. So for someone like myself who, you know, like I said, I'm spoiled. I've seen him every tour since 1976. I know what he's done. I want him to shake it up a lot. I want different songs in every tour, and he has added new songs, you know, the Beatles songs mainly, and a few Wing songs that he hasn't done since 76, and also Another Day, and I love those moments the most. But still, those core songs get people moving. And there was a, you know, I remember that last show when I told you that there's always people that have never seen Paul live before. I had a married couple sit behind my wife and myself, and they were in their 50s or 60s, never saw Paul live, never saw Ringo live. And you would think, how is it possible? You know, you've had all these years, you're a Beatle fan, how can you not have seen Paul McCartney live? Mm-hmm. And they loved this show. They were blown away by it. So when I see people who haven't seen him before experiencing this for the first time, that's exciting for me, as well as a lot of the young fans that go. You know, and I saw a little boy, maybe 5 years old, wearing a shirt with the photo that's on the McCartney 2 album. And I was just so impressed with the fact that, you know, his parents are bringing this kid up right. And he's wearing one of those shirts. So those kind of things really thrill me. There was also a girl in the seats there who, when Paul did My Valentine, and they were showing part of the video with Johnny Depp and Natalie Portman on the screen there, but this girl was actually doing the sign language to the song, which I thought was really cool.
That's very nice.
And
was she on stage or was she in the audience?
No, she was in the audience.
Wow.
She wasn't too far away from where I was sitting. Closer to the floor, but just the fact that she knew the sign language.
Wow.
And watching some of the signs in the audience, somebody held up a sign that said 1985, which I thought was really nice. You know?
Which he did last night.
Yeah, well, he's done it on every show on this tour and the
previous. No, he did not. According to the set list I got for the last show, for the Ottawa show, he did not.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Yeah, that was the one that they, well, they bumped that one out because of Mullikantyre, and I noticed that some places had it listed, but according to the set list I got from McCartney's press office, it was out for that one show.
Hmm.
So, yeah, because of Mullikantyre and Michelle. So.
Okay.
But anyway.
But still, great show. And like I said, if you've never seen him before, or even if you had many times, never waste an opportunity to see him.
Yep. Yep.
I mean,
okay. Now.
We'll talk about the book.
Now that we've gotten halfway through the show. But anyway, yeah, all right. Let's talk about the book. And like I said, if you have an iPad and you are wondering about this, it really is a good buy. For one, like I said, I guess one reason to get it is because it's so darn cheap. Genesis publication things are usually big bucks things that a lot of people can't afford. This one is very affordable.
And there will be the limited edition version coming out at the end of the year that's expensive.
Right. There's some thing, and I have not checked into that. In fact, I wish Ringo had addressed that when he was in Los Angeles, but he did not, as to what the printed book will have as opposed to the ebook and the exhibits. He's already said that there's going to be more pictures.
Hmm.
But the big attraction with the ebook that really makes it a must is Ringo. There are video introductions to every chapter, and there's also numerous audio clips all the way through the book where Ringo comments about the pictures, about what's in the what's there, and you know, with his memories. And I know, you know, and I was thinking that, you know, he's always said he's not going to write a book. This is basically it. This is him, you know, this is his memories. It's not filtered through a ghostwriter. It's his, you know, memories straight on.
Right.
And you know, and this is, you know, if you're ever wondering, I mean, it's his story. It's not, you know, it's very, very positive. It's not a, you know, he doesn't demean anybody in the book. He doesn't go after anybody. It's all very, you know, up and up, you know, and light. And I guess that's, you know, that's probably, some people are going to wish there were more dirt. Well, of course, Ringo's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this has, you know, the world through Ringo's view. And it's great. It really is. The pictures, there's some great pictures in here, that childhood pictures that he rescued from boxes that his mother saved, that he got hold of after she passed away, that he said in Los Angeles that was not even aware that his mother had saved all the stuff that she did.
Right.
And then he saved a lot more stuff, or his assistants had saved a lot more stuff than he realized. And so when they went to go through their archives for the Grammy Museum exhibit and for this, they found a whole bunch of stuff that they didn't even know they had. And a lot of the pictures are in the book. And there are things in the ebook here that are not, that I don't recall from the Grammy Museum, which is really kind of cool. And the audio clips are not, and the video clips are not there.
Right.
So there's one thing that is really, really nice about it. And in typical ebook fashion, you can click on the pictures and bring them forward. In some cases, he has, with like some of the slips of paper, you can tap on them and they'll show both sides.
Nice.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of really, I mean, it's really, really nice. Nice touches in here. In fact, the little symbols for the audio clips vary throughout the book, and it actually, I normally don't read instructions. And I started getting into the book and started looking, and then I realized, hey, wait a minute, there's a lot more audio clips here than I realized before, and there certainly are.
Hmm.
There's quite a few. Almost just about every page has an audio clip. Not everyone, but at least half, maybe two-thirds. So that's really one of the nice things about the book.
Let me ask you a few things.
Yes.
First of all, as far as Ringo and his photography is concerned, do you ever get a feel for any kind of artistic bent or flair that Ringo has as a photographer, or are these photographs more pretty much in the moment, what happens?
Like you were saying,
there's a moment there where the Beatles are in a car and fans are following them. So obviously, you take a snapshot of that. You do it as it happens. But are there a lot of moments where you get the feeling that Ringo has put his own touch, his own eye, his own feel into the photography? Or are they really just, you know, like I said, in the moment kind of shots?
It's a little bit of both. And he goes into that in the introduction that he added onto the book. He says, you know, I've got a lot of pictures in the e-book, a lot more to come in the real book, and some in the exhibition in the Grammy Museum. Says there are shots of the boys that only I could have taken, which is an interesting perspective, you know. But he says, in the e-book, there are also photos of Dezo Hoffman and Bob Freeman, photographers who took a lot of pictures of the Beatles, but I took a lot of photos of them, too. We always had a real photographer, but I just loved taking pictures, and I still do. He talks about using the lenses to do the shot for Blue Jay Way of George, you know,
right,
and all those little lenses, and he, you know, and he talks about that. He says photography has always been an interest of his, and he said they all had cameras, and he said it would, you know, somebody could have put together a book of all of their photographs.
That would be really nice.
He said we could have a book called he mentions this. He says, we could have a book called The Beatle Photos, Just an Idea. Of course, you know, who knows where that's going to go? Maybe it'll go somewhere. But I mean, that's interesting. But some of the photos are of the moment. Some of the photos are very artistic, like the one of him taking the shot of the fans in the car. The shots of the group doing various things. There's a little of both there.
That's really interesting, because I've known for years that Ringo had a strong interest in photography. I didn't know about the other Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be interesting to see any photos that the other three have done.
Well, George had some photos in the book for the HBO thing, HBO movie. So there were some in there. I can't recall offhand whether Paul's had any in any of his books. I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, there was one or two. But
I'm talking about over a long period of time, not a few select photos.
Right.
Was it something that they kept up with through the years?
Mm-hmm. Ringo certainly did.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, the photos are all the way through, you know, all the way through the Beatles. And there's some really interesting photos. Of course, it starts out with his childhood photos and his young photos before being with the Beatles. And there's some great shots and some interesting shots that you look at them versus how he was as a Beatle and you go, that's Ringo? I mean, they're really unusual. You almost don't recognize him in some of the shots. It's very, very funny, actually.
Huh.
But
wow. Are there specific shots that you can talk about that you really found fascinating?
Yeah.
That Ringo took. And also, before you answer that, are the majority of these photos Beatle photos?
No. There's the first two chapters are before the Beatles. He gets into the Beatles with the third chapter, which is called Beatle Buddies. And there's a lot of there's some mood photos. There's a great timer photo of him and Paul kind of hugging each other, and he says it's on a time. He makes a comment, an audio comment. He says it's on a timer shot, so that's why we're looking weird. They have this kind of weird, this kind of surprised look at the camera. But he caught a lot of them. A lot of the pictures are them caught off guard because he could.
Right.
So there's a lot of that. There's also a lot of personal memories. I mean, there are shots. There's a shot of Brian Epstein, and he talks about how Brian was as a person, and you know how Brian called him for the Beatles, and would call him to fill in several times, and so there's that. Like I said, a lot of the shots are not art shots. Some of them are, some of them aren't. a lot of them, you just get the feeling that he loved to just go snapping pictures, which I mean, who doesn't, you know, with a camera in their hand, like to, especially now with the digital, you know, digital format, whereas back then they didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You had to kind of watch with the film, you know, you only had a limited number of pictures on a roll, so you had to be a little more discriminating on what you took, whereas now that's not really the case, at least not for me. There's, you know, you can see that, and there's some nice shots. A lot, there are shots that aren't, not all the shots in here are taken by him. There are publicity shots of the four of them that he's gotten the rights to use. There are some remarkable shots. There's the one shot of him with the Beatle haircut, and I guess it's the 64, holding the camera with a self-portrait, taking it into a mirror, which is kind of interesting.
Hmm.
There's an overwhelming number of great shots. There's a shot of Murray the K. Any comments on Murray the K? And I know a lot of, there's been comments about, you know, how Murray the K was kind of took advantage of them, but he actually has nice things to say. He said, we have to thank him. He was a great guy. He actually says Murray the K broke the Beatles in America, which I think you could probably dispute among, you know, people with that. But he does say he was a great guy, so that's nice. He's got a picture of George wearing one of Murray the K's T-shirts, the submarine, for anybody that's old enough to remember Murray the K, the submarine race watchers. You probably remember that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I think I've seen the, is it George that, or maybe John that wore a WMCA good guy shirt?
Right. Yeah, I think.
Or they could have both done it, too.
Right.
So I don't know.
There is a shot of George wearing the submarine race watcher shirt in here,
yeah,
that he apparently took. There's a shot that of Ringo took of Paul sitting at a piano with George behind him. There's a moody shot of John with an acoustic guitar. There's shots taken out of car window, you know, just of traffic. But there's a lot of interesting shots, a lot of miscellaneous shots. There's a shot of a theater marquee. It's called the Art Theater, and it says Christine Keeler goes nudist plus playgirls. So I don't know what side of town they were in, but they were enjoying that. They have a picture of Phil Spector, young Phil Spector.
Huh.
So George Martin and Brian Epstein in Beatle wigs. There's all sorts of interesting shots.
How about something with Rory Storm?
Most of the shots of Rory Storm are not shots that he took. At least I don't remember any shots that he took. The shots of Rory Storm are him and the band taken by somebody else. So,
what did he have to say, if anything, about Rory?
He was very nice about Rory. He really doesn't criticize anybody to any great extent here. So anything he says is very positive, and he's very positive about Rory Storm. So,
are there any shots from after the Beatles, say, from recording sessions with the other Beatles or musicians?
There are recording session shots. There are not a lot of solo recording session shots.
I would love to see something from the Ringo sessions.
Yeah,
you know, lots of photos
I was kind of hoping for that too, but there are not there's not a lot of that. There's various shots of the other Beatles eating in the bathroom, horsing around. There's a shot of shot that's in the Grammy exhibit of Paul and Mal Evans horsing around. Paul, it looks like Paul's kind of riding. Mal's kind of bent over, and Paul's kind of standing next to him. So that's kind of funny.
Does Ringo give details as to when certain shots were taken? I mean, you can look at them
when he remembers. He does not do a lot of that detail because he doesn't seem to have a lot of he didn't seem to write, or a lot of that information apparently was not on the picture. So, but he basically goes through memory on, mm-hmm. On these things and just kind of sits there and comments off the top of his head.
Right.
But still, it's fun to hear some of the stuff that he says about, you know, about the Beatle days, Beatlemania, you know, later on. You know, there's a couple of shots of him. I'm looking at it's a shot of him and Harry. He's kind of dressed like a wizard. That might be Son of Dracula, actually.
Sounds like
it. Not sure which one that is, but yeah, that's a very cool shot of him and Harry.
Did he have anything to say about Harry? Because I know that Ringo often has referred to him as the best friend he ever had.
Yeah, I believe he doesn't go into a lot of detail about Harry, as I recall. I'm looking at a creative shot that he did similar to the one of George with Blue Jay Way. He did John, and it looks like it's a Lady Madonna session because he has the round glasses on at the microphone.
Hmm.
So that's a cool shot. And then there's another shot here of Paul and John singing together.
What period?
It looks like the Lady Madonna sessions.
Okay.
So.
Well, we know what that video looks like.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it looks like it's from that video.
Hmm.
But there's all
really when they recorded Hey Bulldog.
Right.
Hmm. Okay.
And he said he also had a chapter called The 60s and Substances Come Into Play. He does not talk a lot about that with good reason. Here's the shot of it's Son of Dracula.
Okay.
And he says he there's no audio clip here, but he says there's my best friend Harry Nilsson and I in Son of Dracula, the movie I put together. He was Dracula and we became great friends after that. In the end, he was my best friend. God rest his soul. I love the man.
Okay.
So, and then there's in the very next frame there's a picture of Mark Bolan.
Mm-hmm.
So
see, that's what I would look forward to is shots of him with not just the Beatles but other musicians too.
Well, the Bolan shot is just Bolan. It's a shot he took.
Right.
So he's not in the frame. He is in the frame with Harry Nilsson. Harry Nilsson is out of costume, dressed in a suit and looks very natty, and Ringo's in this kind of wizard costume that looks very interesting. So
how long is this book in terms of pages?
It's not short. That's what's really nice about it. There is an awful lot in here, and this was great. This was Genesis. This was their very first ebook. So, you know, hopefully this will be the first of many. And if they do some more Beatle books, this will be fun. But yeah, this is the first one that they've done, and it's a great version.
If there's one story or anecdote that Ringo mentions here, apart from what you have already said,
mm-hmm.
that really stands out about his life, whether it's with the Beatles or anything else, what would it be?
Well, the comments about Beatlemania are the most interesting because, you know, obviously that was an incredible moment in their lives. It was obvious that they were all caught by surprise. They knew they were good. They knew they were going to make it, but I don't think they realized what was going to happen, that they were going to make it as big as they were, and that's kind of the what you get a feeling of.
Yeah. Well, no one could have predicted that.
Right.
As talented as they were, that
right.
kind of magnitude, that kind of impact,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like nothing that had ever happened before.
Right.
So, you definitely recommend this to all of our.
I definitely recommend it, and he, like I said, like you were saying earlier, the book that's coming in at the end of the year. They haven't announced the specific date yet. According to the description here, it's going to have a wealth of new memorabilia, photographs, and text. It says taking you deeper into Ringo's early life, his Beatle days, and beyond. Hear about Ringo's adventures, mishap, and movies with appearances from an all-star cast of friends, which answers my question earlier about whether there will be multimedia involved. And it looks like, according to that, there will be.
Hmm.
So, And each of the 2,500, there's only going to be 2,500 books, and they're going to be hand-signed.
Right.
Now, I'm hoping, and I don't know that this is going to happen, but I'm hoping that there is a popular press version for those that can't afford, you know, to spend the big bucks.
There should always be.
There should be.
And just like with I Me Mine, when it came out mass market,
mm-hmm.
same thing, really.
They did do that with that. And but, I mean, some of the other, the first book with Derek Taylor never came out popularly pressed, and some of the others haven't. Some of the photograph books haven't come out, although they weren't done specifically by the Beatles. But it would be really nice I hope that they do that.
All right, so Steve feels you should definitely pick up a copy of this ebook,
and you can get it through iTunes, by the way, and the iBook store.
Okay. Now, if any of you would like to get in touch with us, an easy way to do so is by email. Our email address is thingswesaidtodayradioshow@gmail.com. You can get in touch with me through my own personal email, which is everylittlething@att.net. Be sure to check out my website, which is kenmichaelsradio.com, which, by the way, has my complete interview with Mark Lewison on there. And you can also contact us through Facebook. We have our own Facebook page at Things We Said Today.
And don't miss my Beatle Examiner columns. And we've been really doing a crazy job on covering Paul's tour. It's been intense. Let's put it that way. It's been very intense.
It's been an amazing tour so far.
And yes, it has.
I hope you get a chance to see him.
The word is, by the way, that it's going to keep going. The rumors are that it's going to keep going.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
That wouldn't surprise me either. So,
just the question is, will there be more dates in the U.S.?
That's the question.
Okay. So, for Things We Said Today, I'm Ken Michaels, thanking all of you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
And this is Steve Marinucci saying thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.